So now, I'm sitting in the wheelchair, dressed from the waist down, my shirt wide open, my bra and my pizza dough belly exposed, dreading what is next. Buttoning. Buttoning the length of my shirt with left neglect and one right hand takes the same kind of singular, intricate, held-breath concentration that I imagine someone trying to dismantle a bomb would need to have. I finish 3 of the 5 buttons I intend on buttoning, and I'm utterly exhausted. Before I start on the 4th, I notice Heidi in the mirror, and I exhale 3 buttons worth of air and tension. 3's enough. "Good job," says Heidi, sounding impressed. "Thanks," I say, genuinely proud of myself. "But why on earth would you wear that?" she asks. "What do you mean? Why would you wear a shirt with buttons?" "Because I should use every opportunity I can to interact with the left?" I ask, quoting Martha, thinking the question is a test. "Within reason. Let's be practical, too." "So I shouldn't wear this?" I ask. "I wouldn't. I'd pack my button-down shirts away and wear only pullovers." I think of my wardrobe full of button-down shirts, the shirts I wear to work. For how long? For now. I take a mental inventory of the shirts hanging in my closet. Armani, Donna Karan, Greta Cole, Ann Taylor. Crisp, stylish, expensive, professional, all with buttons. And this doesn't even include what's presumably hanging in my closet on the left side. Heidi senses my reluctance to embrace her philosophy. "It's like when Ben was born and he had horrible reflux. For months, I had his spit up on my shoulders, down my back, down my front. It was gross. I had to stop wearing all my dry clean-only shirts and sweaters for almost a year. It would have cost me a fortune, not to mention all that time driving back and forth to the dry cleaners. I wore all machine-washable cotton instead. It wasn't forever. It was just for that phase of my life. This isn't a button-down shirt phase for you." We both look at me in the mirror. "In fact, it's not a zippered pants phase either," she says. It dawns on me that she's not only suggesting that I say goodbye to all my beautiful work shirts and all of my jeans and trousers, but she's also suggesting that I should get redressed. I should take off my shirt and my jeans, which would also mean taking off my shoes, and start over entirely with some other outfit, and I can't handle even the possible suggestion. I start to cry. "It's okay. Look, your day is hard enough, right?" I nod and cry. "Right. So let's make some simple adjustments where we can. Pullover shirts, elastic waistband pants." Our eyes sidestep over to my mother, who is wearing black, synthetic, elastic waist pants and a shapeless white pullover sweater. I cry a little harder. I know you're used to looking very stylish and put together, but I think we should go for independence over fashion. Vogue is just going to have to wait to do their photo shoot with you." Not funny. "You think I like Crocs?" she says, kicking up one purple rubber foot. "Believe me, I'd much rather be in Jimmy Choo's, but they're way too impractical for what I do here." Heidi hands me a tissue. "But if I'm trying to get back to 100%, don't I have to practice doing what I was able to do before the accident?" "Sarah, I hope that happens. I hope you get back to 100%. But you might not. Instead of only focusing on getting better, you might want to also focus on getting better at living with this." I've gotten used to hearing and ignoring this kind of defeated, negative attitude from Martha, but can't believe I'm now hearing this from Heidi, my ally, my friend. I know that's a really hard thing to accept, but it'll help your situation so much if you can. There it is again. Accept the situation. Are she and my mother drinking the same Kool-Aid? Accept. Adjust. Those words don't sing to me at all. In fact, I have a hard time even considering those words without hearing give up, lose, fail. Accept and adjust. Give up, lose, fail. What about the poster? Attitude, fist, fight. I clench my fist and sniffle.
"So are you saying I have to start over?" I ask, referring to what I'm now wearing.
No, of course not. But for tomorrow. Helen, let's pick out something simpler, okay? Okay, says my mother. Anything left to do with getting dressed? Asks Heidi. My watch. My mother hands Heidi my Cartier watch, and Heidi passes it to me. But instead of beginning the long process of putting it on, I compare it to the watch on Heidi's wrist. Hers is a pink plastic sports watch, digital, with no buckle. It's shaped like the letter C and appears to simply hook around her wrist like a horseshoe rings around a post. And I have an idea. Want a trade? I ask, like we're in elementary school and I'm offering her my tuna for her PB&J. No, Sarah, yours is too complicated, I say. Expensive, she says. A daily source of aggravation. I need a degree from MIT to work the class. I couldn't, she says. But I can tell she's considering it. This is like a $30 watch. Your mother or Bob could order one for you. Yeah, but I want to do this now. What about that speech you just made? Accept and adjust. I think this is a pink plastic watch phase for me. A smile sneaks into her eyes. Okay, but when you want this back, you just tell me. Deal. Heidi replaces my diamond and platinum Cartier with her pink plastic watch. I hold the edge of the opening in my right hand, find my diamond ring on my left, and in one lucky try, I slap her watch onto my left wrist. I even read the time, 11:12. My mother claps. Wow, Sarah, this is really gorgeous, Heidi says, admiring her upgrade. You sure about this? I think about all the agonizing minutes I just saved. Accept and adjust. You're giving up. You're going to lose. You're going to fail. Attitude, fist, fight. I'm sure. But I don't care what you say or how hard I have to work. I'm never asking for your Crocs. She laughs. Deal. Don't worry. I'm not giving up. I tell my conflicted self. Sometimes I'm just too exhausted to fight.